hi to some folks.
The dead and the songs I'm dead. I believe what I believe.
Good morning. It's still morning. It's 11:15. Do you know where your children are? Yes, I do. Cool. Hey, guys. So I just got a notification that a bunch of people got hail. Did y'all see hail? In Lebanon, they saw a bunch of hail? How big was it? Pea-sized hail? Yesterday. Last night, the girls and I were coming back from the concert, and we'd gotten we had to stop off somewhere, and we were coming out of the building, and I think I'm funny, so I said I'm walking slow, and it started pouring down rain. It had just like started to pour down rain. They're like, get in the truck. They're all running towards the truck, except I have the key, so. Abby went over to try to put the key code in, but that I unlocked it. I was nice to them eventually. It was very smart of you to run over because, you know, all the Fords, they have this key code thing on the door. So it's really, really fun that way. Anyway, well, you guys ready to get second half of church going? I think we started well. We're going to get into some prayer right now. And our guest prayer today is Elizabeth. I want to encourage you, if you would like to pray during our prayer time, please sign up in the back of the room. There are still some slots available, so I'd love to give others an opportunity to pray. So here's what we're praying for today. We're going to be talking about our core value of unity with distinctiveness. Unity with distinctiveness means this. We believe that life is done best when experienced together. Okay? In addition to that, from multi-sites to individuals, each distinct yet all with one heart and mission. We who are many parts all belong to the same body. And that fits not only for all of us Life 360 churches, but also for everyone in the Christian community as well, the kingdom of God, right? And we want to always extend the kingdom and open up the kingdom to others, and really bring people in that come from different backgrounds or different places in life. You know, I got a message this week, and someone was sending me a message about something with the food program, the distribution day, and things like that. And they said, "Well, I don't belong to your church." And my response was simply this: nobody belongs to a church. You don't belong to a church. You go to church to belong to the kingdom of God. We don't get you coming in here and sitting in this room is not going to get you to heaven. Belonging to a church or having some title is not going to change anything. It's only your relationship with Jesus Christ that changes things. And the thing is that we have to have that relationship. And the only reason we come together so we can do what we just did. We can worship together. We can iron sharpens iron together. We can support each other. We can hear the word together. I mean, think about it. What are you doing at church that you can't do at home? Nothing. And a lot of people have that excuse. There's nothing I can't do at home that I could do at church. Well, there is one thing, and that's coming together with other believers. That's the excuse I hear a lot of times. Well, I can do whatever. I can do the same thing at home. I can read my Bible. And the only preacher I need is Jesus Christ. And I didn't write the sucker. It's just in there. So, anyway, and I'm talking about the Bible, of course. I'm pointing to my Bible. I didn't write the Bible. It's just in there. So you can believe it or not. Someone's having a party over here. All right, our second part here, we're talking about Life 360 Church. We're going to be praying for Plato with Pastor Kevin and Ramanita Larson. They're amazing out there. They do a very unique service out there, and they're doing great. Our missions focus this week is Speed the Light. That is our youth arm of the Assemblies of God, and their key thing is they raise money for vehicles of the gospel. So vehicles being cars, trucks, SUVs, 4x4s, boats, helicopters, airplanes, radios. Yes, because radio does send the message. Donkeys and horses and so on and so forth. And in some cases, I guess it could be used for an elephant. Bicycles. Bicycles is a big one. So anything a missionary needs to get around or get the gospel message out and around, Speed the Light does that. I don't think shoes fall into that. But anyway, and the local church we're going to pray for today is our friends down at First Pentecostal Church here in Conway. So if you'll stand with me, Elizabeth is going to be praying. Amen. Thank you, Elizabeth. You did say that. Good job. She slayed it, she says. That Gen Z talk. Distribution day. We just had a distribution day. Hey, look back there. Do you see all the stuff that's left? No, because it's mostly gone. Oh, my gosh. And we had full shelves. We had stuff on the floor. We still have over here in these boxes over here. And I encourage you guys, if you need it or know someone who needs it, we have plates and cups and bowls right there. They are hard plastic. They are dishwasher safe. They are microwave safe. They are wonderful. And we were able to hand out a bunch of them. But, man, they gave us like 10,000 plates or something. It's a lot of plates. I know. So please grab some up and give some out to folks that you know need them, because you know there's some people that need plates. There's folks that need it. Maybe it's you. So go ahead, take some. Go for it. But, man, I mean, look at that shelf right there. You see that? That one, it's closest to us. And the top? You got the top shelf, the one under it, and the one under that. It's completely empty. You see that completely empty shelf? That shelf was completely full. And now it's completely empty. There's three completely empty? Oh, my goodness. I'm just saying, some folks came in here, found what they needed, and got blessed. And I want to thank you guys for your continued support and your prayer for what we do with that program. It's a great opportunity for us to get together and meet with folks. I love being there, able to give away some Bibles. So, yeah, that's why they're there. I mean, don't just let them sit there. They will replenish. Amazon is great. I will order more. So, I mean, it's not even a thing. So, I want to encourage you, if you know anyone, please spread the word. April 17th at 11 a.m. is going to be our next distribution day. Of course, if anyone needs anything during the week, they can always contact the church. We have our phone number on Google. Just Google the church and call the phone number. It rings my cell phone. It's wonderful. And then I can try to get everyone together and try to set up a time for folks to meet up here and try to give them some stuff. So we have distribution day, but please don't feel like you're locked into that day as the only day that you can do it, okay? All right. Fine Arts. I'm actually going to come back to Fine Arts in a second. Warriors at the Well, tonight? Yes, 7 o'clock right here at the church. I encourage every woman to be there. Acts 2 Journey is coming in on April 6th, and we'll get that started at 6 p.m. on April 6th. And that's going to be taking the place of the women's meeting, but the women's ministry is not going away. We're just reformulating how everything kind of works. And I will describe all of that more in well, goodness. We got 2 weeks left. So let me explain it now. Because I was thinking I had more time, but I don't. So, men, we are going to start a men's ministry. Yes. And I'm going to tell you something. This is going to be for every one of the male perspective. Unless otherwise designated. So, and then same thing for women. I'm going to encourage every one of the female perspective to get together whenever women's ministry is doing stuff. So that's how that's going to happen. On Sunday nights, we're going to come together as a church, corporate church, all of us together, men, women, young and old, and we will have time together in the Word. Okay? Some sort of discipleship time starting at 6 p.m. Women's ministry and men's ministry, you guys are, we're going to do stuff. That's what I was telling Miss Marlena. It's like, let's do stuff. You ever feel like sometimes it's really, really cool to kind of get together and be in the Word together and do all that? And that's awesome. That's great. But if it doesn't translate into actually doing stuff, it can be very dangerous. So we don't want to fall into danger territory, and we haven't. But we want to avoid that. So we want to have an outlet. So as a church corporate, we're going to be doing events. We're going to do scheduled things and things like that. As men's ministry, we're going to get some stuff on the calendar. We're going to have some fun together as men without the ladies. Yeah. And all the men said, yes. Sorry, Marley. And the ladies, you guys are going to go do stuff without us. And all the men said, yes. I'm just kidding. So keep your eyes open. Keep your ears open for stuff that's going to be happening. And we're going to have a great time. And it's going to be awesome. It's going to be awesome. This is a big transition for our church. But I think it's going to lead to a lot of really cool things in this new year. This new year being March already. So, all right. If you don't have the church app yet, why don't you have the church app yet? Please get the church app. But for right now, I would like to see Abigail and Elizabeth to come up here, please. I know, you weren't expecting this. I'm making you come up here for a reason. So these two young ladies have a pretty big event happening this weekend. A really big event happening this weekend. And that big event is fine arts. These girls have been working really, really hard. No, you don't have to do it right now. I'll make you do it afterwards. Yeah, like next week. We'll do it next week. Anyway, so we'll do that next week. They'll give you guys a post view of what they've done over the weekend at Fine Arts next week. So you guys are playing. Surprise! So you get to hear Abigail playing piano, and what else are you doing? That's it, right? Art. So we'll bring your art. I hope we can pick it up the day of. That'd be really nice. So that, or we'll just take pictures and put them on the screen. and then Elizabeth. Flute, guitar, and vocal. And what? Yeah, I know. She's doing three events. So, but I'm going to tell you, these girls have poured their heart and soul. And the thing is that I thoroughly believe that whenever the Lord gives us talents, he means it for his glory. And so I'm very impressed with my daughters, okay? I just am. I'm a biased dad, I know. But here's the thing. Fine arts is not going away. It'll be here next year as well. And so we've got folks that can jump into it. I want to encourage you younger kids, if you've got talents, start working on them. Because here's the deal. If you win at fine arts, it could mean money. And money is nice because it's in the form of a scholarship. And scholarships are nice because that's money you don't have to pay. or your parents don't have to pay. I very much appreciate scholarships. I'm telling you. So I would like us to do. I'd like you guys to do me a favor. Would you extend your hands towards these young ladies right now? And we're going to pray for them because they're getting ready to go to Evangel and do their thing. So, Lord God, I pray right now for Abigail and Elizabeth. They are getting ready to go out there, put themselves out there, Lord Jesus. They're going to be awesome. They're going to be talented in everything that they've done because, God, you are with them. You are with them. And I pray, Lord, that for everything that they do, everything they draw, everything they color, everything they paint, everything they make on an iPad, every time she blows into a flute or sings or plays, or when Abby plays piano, Lord God, or when Elizabeth plays her guitar, Lord, I pray that it would always be for your glory. The scholarships are nice. The clapping is nice. The audience watching is nice. But, Lord, it's all about you. Thank you, Lord. In your name, amen. Don't hurt hands. We're going to need those hands. All right, kids, y'all have fun. Anyone else want to go to kids' church? I hear they're going to have a blast. Okay. Thank you for that share. Thank you for the share. All right. We're gonna actually go ahead and pick up our tithes and offerings right now. If you have giving to give online, you can either go to life360.org/giving and make sure you click on Conway, or you can scan that really cool QR code. Last night at Winter Jam, man, we were like inundated with QR code upon QR code upon QR code. Because it's a lot easier to scan one of them things than it is to tell everyone, go to this and hit slash and hit that and so on and so forth. So those things are really cool. But they're everywhere, man, everywhere. But, yeah, I encourage you, give online because it's honestly, it's the fastest way to get the money to the church. And it's really, really nice. Another great thing about it, and this is one thing that I do, and I know I've mentioned this 100 times before, is that we always love getting it set up so that it's automatic. Giving is an act of worship. And some folks, your act of worship is physically putting that check in the bucket or putting that dollar or $50 or $1,000 in the bucket. Please. you know, it's still giving. It's still being obedient by setting something up that just happens. And it's okay. So I want to encourage you there. So let's pray. Lord Jesus, we thank you so much for everyone who continues to give to this church. We thank you so much for all that you've done and all you plan to do. In your name, amen. All right, before we get into our message, I wanted to let you guys know something. If you drove in today and you looked and you went, where's the van? Anyone ask that question? Anyone notice? Huh? Oh, I already told you. Yeah, I told a lot of y'all. But we have sold our church van. Yippee. So the good news on that, on the finance side of things, is that where we were is not where we are. We are in great shape financially. Everything is humming right where it needs to be. And all of the funds that we had drawn out in order to sustain a certain ministry, the Bear's Den after school program, has been replenished. So we've been blessed. I've been working diligently on the church budget and finances a lot over the last 3 weeks, I think it's been, and found a lot of different things. You've noticed that there's a new trash company that we're going to be working with, and we just different little things to try to be better stewards of the Lord's money that comes into here, because it's His. It's all His, and so it's incumbent on me as the pastor to make sure that that's being handled well. and making good decisions. The church van was costing us a chunk of money every month, and just honestly, it's not worth the cost to keep it. And you never know what could happen with a vehicle, especially one that sits most of the time. You never know what's going to break down and what's going to cost us this and that and so on and so forth. So we mulled it over, and if we need a van or anything to go to camp or anything like that, it's actually cheaper for our church to rent a van for that event than it is for us to maintain a van on the property. And our insurance just went down as well, so that actually helps as well. So all the above. If you have any questions or concerns about that, I'd love to hear them, and we can discuss anything. I am an open book. Those of you who have worked with me in my office working through budgets or questions or anything like that, you guys know I don't hold back. I just, here it is. This is what we're doing. This is why we're doing it. And sometimes I, you know, we can discuss it. But, you know, I'm here. Talk to me. It gets really lonely here during the week sometimes. But, all right. Did that make as much clear sense as muddy water? All right. All right. You guys ready for our message? We're in our series, New Vision. We're getting real close to the end, y'all. Can you feel it? I know. And soon it's going to be a whole new series. We're going to be in an Acts 2 series. You know, we're doing the Acts 2 journey on Sunday night. We're actually going to be doing a series on Acts 2 starting in April. So, I know. All right. Today we're gonna be in James chapter 5, verse 7 to 11. I know that says 7 to 11. I'm sorry, I forgot the 5. And the sermon title today is, Are We There Yet? Have you ever heard that one? You ever heard that one from your kids? Are we there yet? What does that mean? Why do they ask that question? They're getting impatient, right? They're bored. You know what? With these modern devices and everything, kids don't get bored like they used to. But you know what I've learned? You can turn those things off just by the flick of a switch. You want to watch? You want to watch me do it? These two right now would definitely like pick up their heads and look at me because their devices would no longer work. It's a wonderful thing. I have a little button I push. Right? There you go. All right, so she's in the Bible, obviously. But here's the thing. Are we there yet? They've actually done studies that show definitively that children that are bored learn how to be patient. They learn how to wait. Children who are given devices and all this stuff and they're given all this entertainment all the time, this media all the time, exposure all the time, they end up becoming, and this is statistical, statistical truth. The statistics show that, and this is a scientific term, grow up to be impatient brats. Wow. Impatient brats. You mean if I put my kid in the back of my truck and I make them not be on their device, it actually forces them to develop? Yes, it actually does. In fact, we have a rule in my truck or whenever I'm driving. And what's my rule, kids? No devices while I'm driving. Now, here's the thing. If I get out of the truck and like go into a store real quick, guess what they do? Every single time, without fail. But once I get back in the truck, guess what they do? No, they don't. They're still on them. Because here's the thing. There's the spirit of the law and then the letter of the law. What I would like to see is the spirit of the law and them to not be on it. But they follow the letter of the law, as in once that shifter goes into reverse, they put it down. Oh, yeah, I mean, it's like you look like at Leviticus and Exodus, and you look at all of the laws of God, and you're like, how close to the line can I get this thing before I'm wrong? And there's and the thing is they're technically right, but they've lost the spirit of it, I think. Because here's the thing. If we don't have a little bit of patience in our life, if we can't learn how to wait, it doesn't go well for us. People who have patience, people who can exist in boredom, actually do better in life. I was telling someone something today. Actually, I put it on Facebook. When you come to church, you come to worship God, but also so that you can learn a better way to live, which is God's way, right? And that's part of the thing. So let's get into our scripture today. Are you guys ready? James chapter 5, verse 7-11 says, "Be patient then, brothers and sisters, until the Lord's coming. See how the farmer waits for the land to yield its valuable crop, patiently waiting for the autumn and spring rains. You too, be patient and stand firm, because the Lord's coming is near. Don't grumble against one another, brothers and sisters, or you will be judged. The judge is standing at the door. Brothers and sisters, as an example of patience in the face of suffering, take the prophets who spoke in the name of the Lord. As you know, we count as blessed those who have persevered. You have heard of Job's perseverance and have seen what the Lord's final you see what the Lord finally brought about. The Lord is full of compassion and mercy." How many of y'all have read the book of Job and you know the story? Here's the Cliff Notes version, okay? Job, living a great life, rich, great family, awesome kids. No, not really. He had kids. Anyway, so he honored God. He loved God. And one day in heaven, Satan shows up and says, "Yeah, you know what? That Job guy, he wouldn't actually care for you if bad things happened to him, because you never let bad things happen to him." And God says, "Oh, yeah? Prove it." And God withdraws his hand. And he says, "You can do anything to Job you want. You just can't hurt Job. You can't kill him. Sorry, you can't kill Job. You can hurt Job, but you can't kill him." Thank you, Elizabeth. Thank you. So here's what happened. In the span of a day, he loses all of his livestock. His crops wither and die. And his children are killed. Everyone in his family is gone except his wife, who was not nice. Job himself was made sick with skin lesions and all sorts of junk. And his friends came over to visit him, to mourn with him, only to be, they were little jerks. Very judgmental. "You must have done something wrong, Job, because bad things don't happen to good people." I hate to break it to you, but they do. All the time. Bad things happen to good people all the time. Let's get perspective here. How long are we on this world, on this planet? 70 years, 80 years, 90 years, 100 years? If you're on Social Security, almost 200 years. I'm glad that got caught. Anyway, and then it's over. It's done, right? And where do you go next? Heaven or hell, right? Heaven or hell. So, and how long are you there? Forever. Can you contemplate forever? No. So I was talking with my daughters yesterday when we were at that concert, right? And I said, "Have you ever seen 1,000 people?" Well, I didn't say that. I thought that. And I was like, "Do you see all these people? This is crazy. There's so many people here." And there was like over 10,000 people there. And my daughter, she actually did say this. She said, "One thing I didn't like about the concert is all the people." And, I mean, you couldn't walk through the hallways. I mean, you just got used to the fact that you were going to bump shoulders with somebody. That's just it. That was going to happen. And I thought, you know, when we get to heaven, there's going to be more people there worshiping God than there was last night at the concert. I mean, if you don't like loud music, just wait till you get to heaven. At least you'll have a glorified body. It won't hurt the ears. Man, I'm telling you, they would do these parts of the song, and then they'd do this. And what does that mean? That means they want the crowd to sing it. And man, was it loud. There was one time they did that, and nobody knew what to say. It was kind of funny. Yeah. Yeah, it's okay. We won't go there right now. All right. Here's the thing. Heaven's going to be pretty full, isn't it? Job is struggling. His friends are not helping. His wife is nagging. He has no money. He has no houses and no children. But he never once blames God. I mean, God still had to set him straight because there was some level of pride in him that needed to be addressed, which is there. But what happened afterwards? God restored him. And not just gave him back everything he had, he gave him multiples of that. That's pretty cool. So our theme today is patience. Patience is all over Scripture. You know, something that's all over Scripture and it's mentioned a lot, I've learned that that's something you should probably really pay attention to. Right? There's a few things in the Bible where God says, like, very verily. Have you ever heard that term? Very verily I say unto you. That's a King James version of, listen up, this is very important. But this is, when it comes to patience, it's again and again and again. Do you remember how last week we talked about how Greek words have roots? Okay, we talked about that last week, and I bored you all to tears with Greek knowledge. Trust me, I feel your pain on that one. The root word here that's in the version of the Bible, the NIV that we're using here, is translates patient as perseverance. That's what the root word means, perseverance. And it's a sense of patience and endurance and fortitude. What is fortitude? Anyone remember what fortitude is? Yeah, it's kind of like that. So the first part of the word fortitude, what is fort? What does that make you think of? Like Fort Knox, like firm. It's secure. It's something that can take a hit. That's what fortitude is. You can take a hit. Did you know patience teaches you fortitude? Are you serious? There's people in this world right now who have not learned patience, and whenever something bad happens to them, they lose their bacon. Oh, wow, that sounds like the world we live in. Maybe we should all take their phones away. Look, that face right there. She knows I'm talking to her. I love my daughters. I did not write this with them in mind, I promise. So here's the thing, though. See, that's the thing, is that she just said it. She said, you always write these to me. And I'm like, well, yeah, I didn't write the book. I just preach what's in it. And here's the thing. How many times have I preached a message out of the Scripture? And you're like, man, he's talking to me. See, it's not just you. It's all of us. Sometimes it's me. Okay, so there's three components found in Scripture. in the scripture that we're talking about. First, James calls us to be patient and provides examples from everyday life, or at least their everyday life. So they're talking about like farming and so on and so forth, right? And then second, James affirms that patience must be mixed with harmony that results from controlled speech and behavior. Thus, he counsels against complaining about one another. Don't complain about one another. Finally, he returns to the issue of patience, citing biblical examples of prophets and Job. So here we go. The call to patience, that's verses 7 to 8. The first portion is called the call to patience. James expects his readers to be familiar with biblical examples of patient suffering. Patient suffering. The prophets who endured pain as they waited for the Lord's judgment. These prophets, in the long run, because they were martyrs for the faith, they became martyrs of the faith because they spoke the word of God and then suffered for it. Let me explain how this works. So you have a guy who is sharing the word of God, and it bugs them. You know, you get, like, the look from them, and, like, you're talking to me, aren't you? No, it's in the Bible. This is what God says. I don't make this stuff up. I've said it again and again and again. And here's the thing. I can say that all I want from the pulpit, but if someone really gets mad about it, they're going to come and tell me to my face that they're angry. Or in their, or in the case of these prophets, some of them were killed because someone didn't like what they had to say. Well, if your life is built up on sin, if your livelihood is built up on sin, and you then go, that's a sin, you should stop doing that. Well, what am I supposed to do? Right? I mean, think about it. If you've been brought up to be the witch doctor in your tribe, and all you've ever known is to be the witch doctor in your tribe, and all of a sudden a missionary shows up and says, there is one way to heaven. One way to be saved. If that happens, you're looking at it going, oh, I'm going to kill that guy. Because he can't be right. He is right. The witch doctor is wrong. The blessedness requires a person to wait until the end. To be faithful until the end. Blessings require you to be faithful to the end. That can be hard sometimes. I was reading it this morning, and it's not on my notes. That's why I have my Bible here. I was reading in 1 Corinthians chapter 10 this morning. And it was talking about the Israelites, how they were wandering in the desert, and they literally followed the cloud of God's presence everywhere they went. They ate the manna and the quail that came from heaven itself. They drank water out of a rock. And yet, they would collect all the good things and then live like sin. And God would punish them. Hundreds would be killed. The earth opened up and swallowed some of them. And this is what the scripture says. These things happen to them as examples and were written down as warnings for us. Have you ever read the Old Testament as a warning for us? On whom the culmination of the ages has come. So if you think you are standing firm, be careful that you don't fall. That's that fortitude thing again. No temptation has overtaken you except what is common to mankind. And God is faithful. Say that with me. God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. How many of you all been tempted before? Yeah. How many of you all ever been tempted and there was no way out of it? Like, that was just going to happen. You think that's true? Here's what the Bible says. But when you are tempted, he will also provide a way out so that you can endure it. Okay. You're presented with a test. But you didn't study for that test. You didn't prepare for that test. And we could talk about like a school test, or we could talk about in our life. We get tested all the time, don't we? You didn't prepare for that test, and all of a sudden you have to take that test. In all likelihood, you're probably not going to score well on that test, or at least not as well as you could have if you prepared in the first place. So you have a choice. You could do really badly, or you could go copy someone else. What would you do? I've been a substitute teacher. I've seen it. I've never had to do tests. It's always been worksheets, and the teachers always say it's okay for them to work together because they're going to do it anyway. Does that make it right? Do they actually learn anything is the question. See, here's the thing. You can sit there and say, you know, there was no way out of this. I was always going to sin. But did you catch what I said? Did you study? Did you prepare yourself? In this world, you will have trouble. That is a promise in the Bible. You don't get fortitude if you don't build the fort. You've been through some stuff? I have too. And thankfully, there is a Savior. There's always a way out, guys. And most of the time, the way out is preparation. He's provided a way. We just have to do it. So many of us want God to just come through like a genie and snap his fingers and make things happen. That's not how God works sometimes. Not that he can't do it. He's done it before. God's not Thanos. There's no snap. That's your Marvel reference for today. James is calling for us to be patient. Because the thing is we can start well. You know, I was talking about perseverance and building up your fort and all that. You could do that. But here's the thing. If you start well and you prepared well, but you don't make it to the end and finish well, that's not good. The next part is avoid complaining. He talks to his readers to avoid complaining. He says, and he's talking about how that despite struggles that they're going through, they should stop complaining because complaining is not endurance. It is not patience. That one should not be a hard one to understand, but yet we do it all the time. Don't we? Well, I'm a very patient person. And then bad things happen. Stupid bad thing happened, and things are going to go badly, and I'm just going to go depression and all this other stuff because, you ever feel that way? Good, I'm not the only one. All right. We have this wonderful problem of having a poor me attitude. When we are children of the Most High God, did you miss that part when the bad stuff happens? Don't cry about it. Don't complain about it. In the Old Testament, it says, I hear the complaints of my people, and it's annoying. Look at it. It literally, God says that. I remember reading, and he was talking to Moses, and he said, I'm going to kill them all. God says, I'm going to kill them all. I'm just going to start over with you, because I'm just going to kill them all. They're driving me insane. That sounds like a parent, right? Oh, wait, he is our parent. He's the Father God. And Moses had to call God off the cliff on that one. You think God couldn't do that? He wiped out Sodom and Gomorrah. He opened up the earth and swallowed up a bunch of them. He sent an angel through and killed a bunch of people. God can do whatever he wants. He created us, and he can smash that Lego castle real quick. I'm just trying to get an illustration in. Having a poor me attitude is bigger than you think it is. It dishonors God and shows our distrust. Do you trust God? Remember what I wrote up? Remember what I had you repeat up here? It says, and God is faithful. Scripture says God is faithful. But here's the thing. If I whine about my situation, I'm going, God, you're faithful all the time, except this time. Because obviously my situation is special, and Scripture doesn't apply to it. What does that sound like? Braddy, yeah, you sound like a big baby. Grow up. Yeah, are you more important than God? Does the Scripture apply to everyone else but you? Some people feel that way. Finally, he gives us some biblical examples of folks that have dealt with this, like the prophets, and he specifically addresses Job, right? So one of the folks he talks about is Zechariah. He refers to the prophets, but let's look at Zechariah. Zechariah went through a lot of things, and in 1 Corinthians 24, 20 to 22, he was met with a violent death. The prophets died for what they knew was right. Read the book of Job. Like I said, Job endured a lot before his restoration. A whole lot. He even endured a smackdown from God. He earned it. Ultimately, the greatest blessing given to us in Scripture is the coming of Jesus. Despite everything God's people endured, salvation came. No matter what, whether they did well or they failed, Jesus still came. That's good. That's a good thing. No matter what you're going through, God is still on the throne. He's still the king. He's still in charge. He's still the most powerful one. He's still the one with all the cattle on the field. He's got all of what you'll ever need. And he's faithful. We read that. He was so faithful that he still sent his son, despite the fact that we were horrible to him and his prophets. He still sent his son to die on the cross for us. And even still today, there are people in the Jewish faith that still reject Jesus. They still reject God. They're still doing it. I'm going to tell you something right now, and this might ruffle some feathers, but I don't think it's going to ruffle very many feathers in here right now. The thing is that a lot of people think that the God that the Jews are worshiping is the same God as God. It's not. They've gone into idol worship. If you reject Christ, you are rejecting God. There's no difference. Jesus and the Father are one. He said that. I didn't say that. It's in the Bible. Read it. It's there. That's dangerous stuff. James 5-7 says this, "Be patient then, brothers and sisters, until the Lord's coming." So, let's break down the Bible. We have the creation. We have the fall. We have Abraham with the Abrahamic covenant setting up the relationship with God again. And then we have slavery in Egypt. For a long time. And then they get saved. Moses comes and gets them. And then they end up getting the law of God on the mountain. Right? The Ten Commandments. And everything came out from there. And guess what? They broke it. And then it's just back and forth, back and forth, back. If you ever read the Old Testament, you'll get sick and tired. It's like a roller coaster. Up and down, up and down, up and down, up and down. And a lot of it was down. David, up. Solomon, up for a while and then down. Solomon's kids, all down. Huh. And then Jesus came. Up. Like, really up. Because now we have salvation. And then we have 2,000 years of history. And we have different countries that worship Jesus beyond the Middle East, beyond Israel. Guess what? When Jesus came, that roller coaster ride stopped. We're at a high point, folks, because all you have to do is believe in Jesus and make him Lord and Savior of your life, and you're saved. Now, instead of being an entire people of God going through a roller coaster ride, guess what happened? We are going through the roller coaster ride ourselves. Think about it. You're born. And when you're born, you haven't reached the age of accountability yet, so you're good. High point. And then something bad happens in your life, and you get angry at God in the low point. And then you realize, oh, dang it, my life is not so complete without you, God. Please come back. High point. And then something else stressful comes into your life, and you're going, well, God, I'm just so sick and tired of this. Is wah, wah, me, poor me. And then it drops. Oh, God, I'm so sorry. I messed. This is starting to sound like the Old Testament, isn't it? And it becomes a personal thing, because guess what? Instead of it being a relationship with a nation, like it was in the Old Testament, it's now a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, and Father God, and the Holy Spirit in our lives. It is our personal relationship with God. That's it. And that's what we have to endure. Man, I'm going to tell you, it's real easy to get up and play on a piano and worship God when things are going well. It ain't that way when things are going bad. I got something right now in my life that drives me completely insane. The sewer pipe, the main sewer pipe at our house, burst. Luckily, it was only the main sewer pipe for our bathroom. And if you've ever been to my house, you know we have our bathroom, which is the big bathroom, not my bathroom. I mean, we share with our four kids, me and Leah. So six of us use the big bathroom. And then my sister-in-law, who lives with us, uses the little bathroom. That's her bathroom. And when I say little bathroom, I mean little bathroom. It doesn't take much to be on the toilet and have your knees on the wall. The shower is like this big, and you have to like squat down to get wet. It's a good thing she's short, because I am not that short. I cannot use my shower. I cannot use my toilet. I cannot use my sink. I cannot. And it's not that there isn't water. It's so frustrating because like the water's right there. The problem is there's nothing there to catch it when it goes down. Because guess where it goes? It all goes into the crawl space. And I'm going to tell you what, man. I was like, this bad thing happened. It's a bad thing. And I'm like, God, what in the world? We were just starting to get some good things going here. My grandmother's house just sold. Some good stuff was just happening. This is all really good, and I was getting this really big high, and all of a sudden, wow, that was a little more descriptive than I intended. I'm sorry. The crud hit the fan. Okay, there's no fan down there. Thank you. But here's the thing. You've got a choice at that moment. When the crud hits the fan in your life, you have a choice in that moment to either live in fortitude or complain. Look, here's the thing. I needed in that moment when I realized what was happening? I needed my support system to come around me, my wife. and my dad and my in-laws. You know, family is an awesome thing. And then you guys, like when I got to see you guys and be able to talk about it and let some steam off, because you don't have any idea how much of a blessing you guys are to me sometimes, I think. But here's the thing, to be able to let that out and say, I have this thing going on and I don't know what's going to happen. And I'm hoping y'all are praying for me when I say those things. But here's the thing. It's taken me a long time to get to that point. Because it's hard sometimes. But God came through. God came through. I don't have to worry about the money. God came through. We're getting our whole system replaced. From sink to septic. And God came through. God came through. And it came down to simply this. Me sitting there, assessing the whole situation, watching ServPro pull bag after bag after bag out of the crawl space, knowing that it's going to be an insurance claim, knowing what my deductible is, looking at my account, knowing what happened with my grandmother's house, and knowing that the money is there to cover it. Trusting the Lord. But none of that comes without preparation. The folks that are blessing us, they don't bless us because out of the blue, they had the funds to bless us. They prepared themselves for these things to happen. As I intend to do for my children when they get older. And what's going to come out of it? I got a few days where I can't use my bathroom. Maybe a week. But when it's all said and done, that broken down, thin-walled, not fortified piece of junk plumbing system in my 50-year-old house is going to be made new. And yes, I just made an illustration out of a sewer system. But I'm going to tell you, folks, this is what God shows me this week. I could tell you story after story after story. I remember it, and I can point to the moment I realized that God had me and was going to take care of me. And everything about my world changed. I've told many of you the story about the refrigerator. After I'd gotten out of the Army, I was really concerned about where our food was going to come from. And I'm on the phone with my parents. And I said, I just don't know where the money's going to come from. I don't know where the food's going to come from. I got to feed my family. And then I said, hold on a minute. I'm putting dinner away, and I have to find room in the fridge. You ever have one of those aha moments? I literally didn't have room in my refrigerator for leftovers. And I'm sitting there whining and complaining because I don't know where the money's going to come from for the food. Completely missing the fact that the fridge is full of food. I think that's what happens a lot of times. We focus so much on the problem, we don't focus on who the solution is. And what's really scary is that a lot of us don't ask. Why? We're prideful. We want our own way. We want to think that we can do it. So let me ask you a question. What does being patient look like? Abigail, what does being patient look like? Sitting there not complaining. That's a good one. What do you got? Well, that's still entertainment. But anyway, we'll talk more about that. Anyone? Being content. Yeah. Knowing when it's going to be all right, even though it looks like it's not going to be. Guys, let me give you a worst case scenario. Are you ready? Here's the worst case scenario. Do you believe in Jesus as your Lord and Savior? What's the worst thing that can happen to you? You get killed? I'm just saying, if you got Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you ain't getting stuck on this earth. So that's our starting point here. Lord and Savior of our lives, we trust in Him. The worst thing that can happen to us is die. Where does that put us? In heaven. That's not a bad thing. See, the world looks differently when you look at it like that. Doesn't it? Isaiah 13, 9-11 says this, "See, the day of the Lord is coming, a cruel day with wrath and fierce anger to make the land desolate and destroy the sinners within it." That sounds bad. "The stars of heaven and their constellations will not show their light. The rising sun will be darkened and the moon will not give its light. I will punish the world for its evil, the wicked for their sins. I will put an end to the arrogance of the haughty and will humble the pride of the ruthless." Jesus said this, "The coming of the kingdom of God is not something that can be observed, nor will people say, 'Here it is,' or 'There it is,' because the kingdom of God is in your midst. The time is coming when you will long to see one of the days of the Son of Man, but you will not see it. People will tell you, 'There he is,' or 'Here he is.' Do not go running after them. For the Son of Man in his day will be like the lightning, which flashes and lights up the sky from one end to the other." On one hand, Jesus is saying that there won't be any signs that God is coming back, right? And on the other hand, he says, here's the signs. The conundrum is resolved, however, when you realize that Jesus is speaking of two different realities. One, a historical reality, and the other, that of end times. All of that being said, can we truly predict the return of Christ? No. No. Right? Should we truly spend our time trying to predict his return? If so, why? I mean, people do it, right? You can go get a ton of books on it. Here's what Scripture tells us. It tells us this. Patience is important because it allows us to grow in the midst of difficult times, right? We know the Lord is coming back. We need to be patient for that day. Through that patience, our character is forged on the anvil of difficulty. Tell you what, that piece of metal that's getting formed into something beautiful, you think it feels good when it gets thrown in the fire or when it gets smacked around on the anvil? Of course, it doesn't have feelings or nerve endings or anything, but imagine that, right? We've got feelings and nerve endings. In times of trouble, people naturally hope for release. And there's no doubt that many of the early Christians hoped for that release from this world. They wanted to go to heaven. They were done. We were getting persecuted. We don't want to be here anymore. Jesus, come quickly. How many times have y'all prayed, Jesus, come quickly because I'm going through it? I'm gonna shock you, and you might get upset. I love y'all, but you ain't that special. You can pray for the Lord to come quickly, but that doesn't change his timing. Do y'all feel oppressed in our society? Do you feel oppressed? Not really. Many of us feel deep down that, and honestly, I think if we thought about it, maybe we're not ready for Jesus to come back. we're living in a very comfortable society right now, right? Maybe I'm not ready for Jesus to come back. I want to see my grandkids. I want to grow old, and I want to spend time with my wife, right? That's a backwards way to think. We want to live life to the fullest. And we're afforded that freedom in this life. But the truth is that there's still people around this world right now that, despite our relative comfort, are suffering for their faith. They're in prison. They're being tortured. They're being sold into slavery and a whole lot more. God does not set his timetable based on our comfort or their suffering. And what he calls us to do, though, is be patient. Are you on board with me here? In America, we're comfortable, and we can be really comfortable with just going with the flow. We're going to be okay. But guess what? While we're going with the flow and living our comfortable Christian lives, there's people across the ocean right now that are being sold into slavery or are slaves. Believers in Christ being sold into slavery. And the Lord is saying, be patient. Israel had to be patient for 400 years in Egypt. It's really hard to be comfortable and patient. It's really hard to be patient when we have a phone in our hand. And we could just, you know, have the entertainment right there. It's really hard to be patient when everything is just right there. We can just eat whatever we want. It's just available to us. There's people overseas starving. You're like, well, no, it's not hard to be patient. Yes, it is. You know why? Because instead of trusting in the Lord, you're trusting in what's in front of you. And guess what? Those things are idols. I've had this discussion with people before. Sometimes your device is an idol. Sometimes the food on your table is an idol. Sometimes your house is an idol. Sometimes your kids are an idol. Sometimes your spouse is an idol. And you know why that is the way it is? Let me be very clear. We just said it. Sometimes we just want to spend time with our grandkids before Jesus comes back. Are you seriously telling me you want something more than you want Jesus? That thing is an idol. That person is an idol. An idol. We should not judge other people, even if they are the source of difficulties that we face. This one can be more difficult for us as well. We need to treat others, no matter how they treat us, as children of God as well. Even if they don't believe it, guess what? They're still created by him. And when you dishonor them, you dishonor God. Does that make sense? Jesus said it in reference to children. If anyone hurts one of these kids, you're hurting God. Well, guess what? We're all God's kids. The Lord loves your brothers and sisters, even if they don't love him back, or if they don't love you. Despite everything discussed already in our study of James, all the people in the church who've done wrong and how they've treated others. You know, we've been talking about the rich, and we've been talking about the folks coming into the church and being given a better seat and the poor being thrown on the floor and all that stuff. We've talked about that in the book of James. This is James wrapping all that up and saying, yeah, you don't get to do that to the poor people because they're equal. They are co-heirs with Christ just like everyone else is. Can I give you a word of advice? And this is very un-American. Heaven is not a meritocracy. What is a meritocracy? A meritocracy is, I can explain it like this. Let's say you go to school and you get amazing grades, and then you apply to a college and they let you in because you have really good grades. You get in there on your own merit. You've done the work. You've accomplished it. Right? Now, let's say you have another individual who didn't do all the work. They barely passed. And then when they apply to the school, they get rejected. Why? Because they didn't put it in. They didn't put in the effort. They don't have the merit to make it in. Heaven doesn't work that way. There's a story that Jesus talks about when he talks about hands in the fields, right? The person who worked the fields in that parable worked the fields all day long. There's one guy that worked all day long, and then there's another guy that worked 10 minutes, and then they get paid the same. That's not a meritocracy. And a lot of us would sit back and go, that's not fair. God, these people have been a believer in you for 5 minutes. They still curse. They still smoke. They still do bad things in their life. They're still married to someone that is of the same sex. But now they've declared you Lord and Savior, and they're changing stuff about them. They've started to reject the sin in their life. You're going to let them in? I've been doing this since I was a baby, God. You know what that sounds like? That sounds like complaining. I think we talked about that. I didn't write the book, I'm telling you. I didn't write the Bible. We need to be praying for people to be restored, to have a developing relationship with Jesus Christ. Sometimes we're just not patient enough. Are we there yet? Well, we're not to heaven yet, so we still need to be patient. We need to be actively patient. We need to be going out there, not just sitting on our laurels, sitting there, doing nothing, enjoying our day, checking the block on Sunday. That doesn't work. We need to be actively pursuing a growth in relationship with Him. We need to be pursuing others so that they can have a relationship with Him. We need to learn more about Him. And we need to be praying for people that persecute us. We need to be actively going after people that we don't like. We need to be actively going after people that drive us completely insane. Pastor Scott, I don't want to talk to them. They're just going to be mean. Poor you. They're going to hell. What are you going to do about it? Well, I don't like them, and they're mean to me, so they could just go to hell. Who made you judge? That's what we do. I'm not comfortable talking to them. I don't want to share Jesus with them because they may not like me anymore. Come on, get over yourself. No more pity parties. No more whining. Only trust God and be persistent. We aren't there yet. But y'all, we're getting there. Let's pray. If you'll stand with me. Lord Jesus, we thank you that we have an opportunity to come here today and hear your word. I pray, Lord God, that we would apply it to our lives. Change our hearts, change our minds, change our habits. Lord, you're still working on me. And I pray, Lord God, that you'll still work on everyone who heard this today. I pray that it would permeate into our being and change who we are, Lord. I pray for everyone outside of these walls that doesn't know you as Lord and Savior yet. Those that are so lost and confused that they don't think that they can come into a church because they don't belong to it. That's crazy. What a lie. Lord, I pray that we could be a light to shine on these lies and change the narrative. Change their story. Lord, help us to be the reason why people change the story of their lives. I thank you, Lord, for who you are and all you're going to do in our world. I pray that we would have an opportunity to be a part of that this week. In Jesus' name, amen. You guys have a great week. I will talk to you all as I see you. And enjoy the weather while we still have it. God bless.